1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Gentleman Dean Murray, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, thought of you because yesterday's story regarding the arrests of the 32, talking about those sexual offenders, 12, by the way, predators on the list. And it just brings light to Albany for a second because, and I know you have been the leader there, is trying to really put forth legislation to no avail. Some cases, yes. Some, no. We talk about it all the time, expanding the registry 20 to 30 years. But it's stuff like this that just drives me crazy. And it's all kind of, you know, tied in with the immigration and everything else that we discussed back and forth here. But really, you know, I just think, when is Albany going to wake up? Stories like this, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's interesting, Jay, because you say that, but then things happen in other parts of the state, and you wonder if Albany's listening to that and being very selective in what they hear. For example, I spoke right after I saw, you know, we heard about this story here on Long Island. I read a story about in Westchester, the Westchester County Legislature passed the Immigrant Protection Act, which essentially would make Westchester County a sanctuary county. And I immediately called their county executive, Rob Astorino, and we had a talk, and he swore he's vetoing that, which is good for him. But when we spoke about it, we said, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the story here on Long Island, while it's very scary, it's also good when you see what can happen when you let ICE do their job, when you see law enforcement cooperating with each other like they should do.
Right.
We now have 32 very dangerous people off the streets and out of our neighborhoods on Long Island. Whereas the flip side in Westchester, when they passed this, if this were to go into effect, he even said, we would be the magnet then for all of those bad elements to come here where they would be protected. So you wonder just exactly what is Albany hearing. And, you know, it's our job to go back up there and make sure they hear about this and how important it is that we allow law enforcement to cooperate and how important it is that we do not have sanctuary locations in this great state.
Well, no question. And, you know, you talk about some of the more horrendous of crimes here, you know, to a four-year-old, Dean Murray, to a four-year-old, these types of charges that one is instituted upon, you know, when does it end? When do enough flags get raised here to finally, for people who are in the position to do something, finally get it done?
Right, exactly. And we had legislation, myself and Senator Croce, that we've put forward that addresses both the sex offender issue as well as the illegal immigration issue. It's interesting and also sad to a degree that, again, when you get into this discussion, you'll have one side that will twist this. Like when we debate the sanctuary city bills and things like this on the floor of the assembly, it immediately gets twisted to you are anti-immigration, which could not be further from the truth. We all recognize the importance of legal immigration. This country was founded on it. All of us came from somewhere. It's whether or not it's legal or illegal. And when it's illegal, it's amazing how it branches out and feeds other illegal activities, such as what you said here, sex trafficking and human trafficking and issues like this. Like you said, when you read some of the offenses of some of what these 32 people did, a lot of it, sexual assault on children. You know, this is where when you have the one crime, it can lead to another crime. And this is why it's so important that we allow law enforcement to cooperate on all levels, whether it's federal, whether it's state, whether it's county, all levels cooperating together to keep us safe. And that's what happened in this case.
And we're talking about a lot of different places here, Dean Murray, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras. I mean, I go on and on here. But the most egregious of crimes, you know, again, the four-year-old, the victim there, really all age groups, you know, from a 13 to a 15-year-old. I mean, it goes on and on and on here.
Oh, yeah, and like you said, to a four-year-old.
A four-year-old
child. That is unfathomable. But you brought up the point regarding the legislation that myself and Senator Croce have introduced up there, that we just can't seem to move out of committee in the Assembly. And we've said it again, and Jay, I know everyone, including myself, is sick and tired of hearing the partisan bickering back and forth and the blaming of the other side. But when the facts bear it and you own it, then yeah, we're going to point the finger. And the finger gets pointed right now to the Assembly majority from the city, the city Democrats in the Assembly, that will not let law and order legislation through to the floor. We have bills like we've been talking about in dealing with the sex offenders. I mean, we can't even get the bill to the floor that would limit where a level 3 sex offender who has committed offenses against children cannot live across the street from an elementary school. I mean, that's no-brainer. That is common sense and would be covered in the legislation that Senator Croce and I have introduced. That, by the way, the senator was able to get through in the Senate, but we just can't get it to the floor through the Assembly Democrat leadership. They won't let it get to the floor, which, again, just absolutely blows my mind. There's another bill, and you've talked to my colleague from out east, on the other side of the aisle, by the way, Assemblyman Fred Thiel. He and I have been working on legislation for the last couple of years regarding leaving the scene of serious accidents.
Yeah.
Again, every district attorney in the state agrees that this bill should pass, and the Assembly Democrat leadership will not let it get to the floor for a vote. It absolutely amazes me.
And, you know, something's got to be done. And we've invited him on this program. I've made at least 6 phone calls. I'm talking about Carl Hastie, speaker there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about answering up to some of this stuff here? I mean, you got to be kidding me. And to not even come through. And you know, he does his business so far under the radar. And when you want a comment or some sort of explanation, he's nowhere to be found. You know, it's basically, all right, I'm doing my business during session. Now I'm going on summer vacation. Well, Carl Hastie, when a story like this breaks from yesterday, when are you going to wake up? You are the leader there. When are you going to wake up? He's got to be called out here.
I agree with you. I would love to hear the explanation. I would love to hear what the answer is as to why we cannot move these common sense pieces of legislation that keep our citizenry safe. That's the thing. That is the thing that boggles the mind. These are common sense pieces of legislation to protect the hardworking, legal, law-abiding citizens of this great state, and yet we cannot even get it to the floor. When again, I will say that these pieces of legislation have passed through the Republican-controlled Senate year after year after year, and yet we cannot get it through the Assembly Democrat-led. And again, we've emphasized this, Jay, when we've talked before. I'm not saying it's a different breed when you're talking about in the city Democrats. My colleagues from the other side of the aisle, as I've mentioned, here on Long Island, they're just as outraged. They're just as upset about this. So it's calling out the leadership, as you said, and getting them to step up and let it move forward for the protection of the people. And I think, you know, Long Island, as a community ourselves, we need to call them out. We need to call out the leadership on this.
Got to call them out. And listen, you know, I remember this whole thing as far as ride sharing and the bill to ban sex offenders from ride sharing jobs, you know. And listen, that was a tough fight, right?
It really was. Luckily, we were able to get it done right at the end of the session.
And it just shows you as tough as that was, Assemblyman Murray. I mean, you ask yourself, why was it so tough, right?
Yeah, exactly. It really was, because we brought it up during the budget debate. The language was in the bill during the budget debate back in April that would have allowed convicted sex offenders to drive for Uber and Lyft. We brought it up during that debate on the floor, brought it up again a little later on the floor during a debate of another bill, and continued to push. And finally, they recognized that, hey, you know what, maybe he's onto something here. And we were able to introduce legislation and get it pushed through, through the governor, getting the governor's office involved as well, I might add. But I think that's what needs to happen in this case, too. Leadership on all levels needs to come together and push to get this done. speak, as we are talking about the safety of our citizens.
No question.
Again, 32 with, as you said, at least a dozen of them on the sex offender registry.
And listen, you hate to keep beating it beyond, but, you know, to expand the registry, I mean, come on. I mean, just get it done. Just make it 30 years. Enough of this stupidity.
Well, we can. You can take some solace in this. I will guarantee you this, that myself, Senator Croce, and many of our colleagues from here on Long Island, we will continue as hard as we possibly can to continue to push this, to do whatever we can to get it through and still hammer the leadership to, whether it takes hammering or whether it takes begging, we'll do that too. But we need to get this through. We need to get it to the floor for a vote in the Assembly, where I have no doubt it will pass. It's just getting it through the committee. See, that's part of our problem, Jay, and I heard you in a conversation the other day talking about things that didn't happen in Albany, forms of ethics reform.
Yeah.
One of them we've pushed hard for is change in leadership. You can't have these guys, you know, as committee chairs.
Can't. You got to put some limitations on them.
Exactly, because they have their own agendas, and part of the agenda here was to not let this piece of legislation through. Well, that's got to change. It's that simple.
It is, and we talk about Hastie all the time. You know, those in power, you know, that there has to be something there. Has to be, if you're going to run a good government. Without question.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. Talking with Assemblyman of the 3rd District. His name, of course, is Dean Murray. You know, you talk about fights, Dean Murray. You know, I remember when this landmark legislation to divert these nonviolent 16 and 17-year-olds from adult criminal courts passed in New York. And, you know, even then, you know, this whole raise the age legislation, I remember, that was a fight, too. A lot of emotional testimony going back and forth here, huh?
Yeah, you know what? But here's the thing, Jay, and that's the other problem with our system right now is the amount of rhetoric that is out there. Because, again, I mentioned that when we debate the sanctuary city issue, immediately it gets twisted into, oh, you must be anti-immigrant then, which, again, could not be further from the truth. I'm anti-illegal immigrant. I'm anti-people breaking the law. Yes, I am. And that isn't just confined to immigrants. It's confined to anyone breaking the law. I'm anti-law breaking. Yes, you know, call me guilty. But with that said, the rhetoric gets spun, and then the emotions get high, and the anger gets there. That's what happened with Raise the Age. The fact of the matter is that 95% of those that were arrested under the age of 18 ended up in family court, or it was either adjudicated there, or the charges were dismissed. There really wasn't a need to raise the age, as they said. They were making the claim that you're throwing kids into jail with hardened criminals. That's simply not true. State corrections law, Section 500, Subsection B, already prohibited any minors from being housed or even having any contact in prison with adults. It was already in statute.
Yeah.
But it got the rhetoric got turned up, the heat, you know, these poor kids. Well, these poor kids are doing serious crimes, and now some of these kids are going to end up being gang initiated to do very serious crimes, knowing that it's going to go directly to family court. So that's the downside to what we just did, which is why I voted against it. We were already, in most cases, as I said, over 95% of the cases already may have started in criminal court, but they either got sent down to family court where they were adjudicated there, or they ended up being dismissed. So less than 5% actually went to criminal court in the first place, and those were the most serious of crimes. But we allowed the prosecutors, we allowed the DAs to make that decision, because then they had a little leverage. For example, in cases of gang issues, they had leverage to work with these kids to maybe get the bigger fish and the leaders. But now that's gone. They took that away. Now it goes automatically to family court. So in my opinion, that was a big mistake. And it was, as you said, it was all because of emotion and because of rhetoric.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. I think also, you know, it always comes down to money, right? I think
sure.
You know, people try to determine the cost of, you know, I guess additional courtrooms, more facilities, you know, to hold these offenders. Public defenders, I think, comes into play here. Probation. I mean, you know, it's all about dollars and cents here. And that's what people are more worried about.
No, you're right. Unfortunately, they looked at the dollars and didn't use any common sense in this one, because this move actually will end up costing us more money. It's going to overburden the family courts right now. We're not going to be able to handle it. So there's going to have to be more judges, more courtrooms, more everything. We just, like I said, this was not, in my opinion, a very good move, but only time will tell, I guess. It's unfortunate, but again, when you get into these big issues, it becomes very heated, very emotional, and sometimes we forget about common sense, and that's what happened in this case. And again, that's what's happening in the case of when we're talking about the sanctuary cities and the illegal immigration. Again, think of when we first started the conversation, I told you what's happening in Westchester. They passed this legislation called the Immigrant Protection Act. Well, that sounds really great, except it's not an Immigrant Protection Act. The proper name would have been Illegal Immigrant Protection Act, because that's who they would be protecting under this legislation they just passed, which is why their county executive will be vetoing it. And we talk about that. We've got a big election coming up in the fall in New York City. I know it doesn't affect us directly right here, but it does to a degree that the city sometimes leads the way in this state. And Mayor de Blasio, you've got a guy who just loves the sanctuary city title. He just thinks it's great. Well, he's running against my colleague, Nicole Malliotakis,
yep,
who is absolutely against it. So, you know, again, that's the fight going on in the city as well. But unfortunately, that's where it grabs the headlines, which is why it's so important.
And that's a great point, because, you know, what de Blasio does, it certainly leads to new roads. No question about it. You really question this guy, but, you know, you figure he's probably going to get another term. I mean, let's face it, unless something could be done, you know, listen, it comes down, oh, he said it comes down to money. We'll see if opponents can knock him off. But the thing is, you got to scratch your head at some of the things this man does. But he sets the tone. You're right.
Yeah, which is a little bit frightening when you think about it. And it does have an effect on the rest of us, not just because of the tone, but think about the subway system and the trains and everything going on regarding the MTA and how it affects the LIRR. All of this is they're in the middle of a finger-pointing campaign between himself and the governor. Who's responsible for it? It's funny because they were tripping over themselves to take credit for the Second Avenue subway stop. But then when the things go wrong, you know, they can't point to the other one fast enough.
A couple of minutes
left.
It's
really amazing how that happened.
Yeah, a couple of minutes left talking with the Assemblyman Dean Murray, District Number 3. I'll end this, you know, in the conversation regarding corruption, the whole thing with Shelley Silver, Dean Murray. I mean, it sets a bad tone. You want to tell me the McConnell theory down in Virginia, the governor, because of acts not considered inappropriate, you know, the fine line. Dean Skelos now with a huge grin on his face. You know, we talk about the electoral process and how people pretty much, you know, have this apathy because they know what's coming down the pike. Until we can somehow firm up these laws and get a comprehensive package of ethics and line people up, if they're going to be incarcerated for wrongdoing, put them away. I don't care how old you are. But in essence, it's stuff like Shelley Silver that makes people think, why do I need to go to the polls?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I mean, I question it sometimes when I hear a story. The system worked right up until the point where it didn't, if that makes sense. He was arrested. He was caught. He was arrested. He was tried. He was convicted, which every bit of that was good because he deserved it. But then we get a ridiculous technicality. And in a case by the Supreme Court from the former governor of Virginia, where in this case it was simply because of the charge of the jury by the judge. That was the factor that they used in determining this. I don't think it had anything to do with whether or not he was guilty. I mean, the evidence was so there was an overabundance of evidence pointing to his guilt. But yet, because of the charge of the jury, they'll use these technicalities. That's where people like myself get very frustrated when we say, look, you know, we have a system in place. It's supposed to be the fairest system in the world. It worked all the way up to the end. And then something silly like this, in my opinion, a silly technicality, will now change it. And they're now saying that they're delaying whether or not they're going to retry him. They initially said, yes, absolutely, we're retrying him right away. All of a sudden, now that's been delayed. You want to talk about frustrating everyone on every level. I'm very upset to hear, because you're right. That's what happens. People say, see, I told you so.
Yeah.
And they have no confidence in our legal system. and in us.
And they wonder why voter turnout is the way it is. Always a pleasure. Try and enjoy the rest of the summer, will you?
Thanks, Jay. Okay. Appreciate it.
There you go.